where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I'm your host, Paul Metters. For 2 hours, you got me talking about high school sports, mainly baseball this episode. Baseball is winding down, as is softball and all the other spring sports as well. But believe it or not, guys, we got one more week of baseball and softball until the playoff brackets are announced next Saturday. It's usually early afternoon, so after my show. So it's always fun to speculate the day before brackets come out. But for the next 2 hours, I got a great show lined up for you guys. I can't wait to share who we got coming on. First of all, I want to thank First String Sports. It's where I do my show, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. On the east side, I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket room. Got a sweet setup here, looking at Letterman's Jackets from Clovis West. Madera's is to my left. Liberty, Sunnyside, Fresno Christian to my right. Got that classic Edison Letterman's Jacket. Bullard. Got Bullard in the house today. Looking forward to that. Central, Selma, Kalinga, Woodlake, behind me, Parlier, Clovis High, Kingsburg. So First String Sports, definitely the place to be. Come on, check out everything they got here, Sporting Goods Store. Anything that you need sports-related, First String Sports is definitely the place to go. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. Might as well give you the weather report right now if you guys have been outside or looked out the window so far today. It's a little gloomy, a little different. We've been flirting with 80-degree weather for the last few days. All of a sudden, we got a high of 70. Right now, it's 64 degrees. And then you look forward on your app the rest of the day. And what's that look like? Well, 35% chance of rain at 4 o'clock. So the rain has not quite gone away. So maybe don't wash your car as of yet. Wait till this possible rain, 30% chance or 35% chance going up to 40% chance the next hour. So maybe wait on washing that car and do it the next couple days after the rain is over. All right, so I mentioned it's May 4th, right? May 4th, 2024. And you probably see this on social media, if you're on social media at all, or you'll hear it. Might be some dad jokes related to this, but May the 4th is kind of a Star Wars day, right? And the cliche is, May the 4th be with you, right? Pretty nerdy. So it's a Star Wars day for, Star Wars people out there, and I'm one of them. Right? I'm a well-balanced guy, I guess you could say. On my Twitter account, I mentioned that I'm a Star Wars fanatic. So, yeah, Star Wars and sports and all that good stuff that happens. So what's going on the show today? Like I mentioned, it's going to be pure baseball talk, and I got a great lineup, and I can't wait for you guys to hear these guests. At the bottom of this hour, I got Trenton Kemp, TK. He's going to join me live here at First String Sports. He currently coaches at Buchanan. Does a great job coaching third base. He's really involved in stretching and weight training and times and all that good stuff. So Trenton joins me. He played at Buchanan, drafted by the Red Sox. That's tons of baseball experience. How good is Bullard? Have they been challenged in the CMAC? Well, nope. Nope, absolutely not. They're 13-0 in the CMAC. Bullard is running away from the with the league championship. Where are they going to land in the playoffs, a 3 or 4 seed? So looking forward to talking to Trenton Kemp of Bullard Baseball. At the top of hour number two, Dan Hydash. He's the head baseball coach at Redwood. Rangers are 21-5 this season. They're going to be in D1 like they were last year. So we do a lot of talk, obviously, about the local schools. Clovis Schools, Fresno Unified Schools, Kingsburg, Selma, Dinuba, Emmanuel, Fowler, Selma. Right? We don't talk a lot about the Visalia schools. When they pop up, when they got a good program or a good team, obviously we'll talk about them. So that's why I wanted to listen to what Coach Hydash has to say about the Tulare and Visalia schools. Redwood's been on the radar for a long time. They got a couple titles in D2, and they've been challenged to compete in D1. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Coach Hydash at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour number two, Pat Ware. He's going to join me to talk about Clovis West baseball, currently an assistant there. He's in charge of the offense. Coach at Fresno State, yeah, during that title run in 2008. But he's also known for landing this baseball player at Fresno State. You may have heard of him, Aaron Judge. He's got a great Aaron Judge story. He's kept in contact with him over the years. So I always love talking to Coach Ware. He's got a wealth of baseball knowledge, what it takes to be a Division I baseball player, coaching at the high school level. So he knows what it takes to get to the next level. So loaded hour, like I said, talking about pure high school sports. Something I didn't mention that you're probably wondering about, Buchanan. What a wild, wild week for Buchanan baseball. Even if you're not familiar, totally familiar with what went on or what was going on, well, I'll hope to clear it up. I'm going to do that after the break. We know that Troy Gloss, a four-time All-Star, World Series MVP, was relieved of his position on Monday. And Coach Brad Fonts, who stepped down last year, is now back coaching the team, along with Jason Donald, Brian Marsubian, and Austin Kemp. So lots of different angles to look at this situation. Who's at fault? Who's to blame? Is anybody to blame? Was it just a bad situation? Was it doomed to fail from the beginning? Were the parents involved? Did admin do, not go about it the right way, right? I'm going to talk about that after the break. I spent about 7 to 10 minutes talking about that situation from my angle, right, from my perspective. And I tried to gather as much information as possible, what I know from my own eyes and what I know from people who I trust. So it's a big and sensitive situation. So I'll be talking about that after break. I want to bring you guys, before the break, just a few scores, a few baseball scores around the central section. And then I'm going to talk about the standing CMAC track and Yosemite League divisions. All right, so last night, or yesterday, Sunnyside defeated Hoover 4-3. Fresno High, Coach Pappy does an amazing job, beat Madera South 16-1. Justin Garza, what a great job they have done this year. They beat Sanger 6-1 at home. Clovis East and Central, runs aplenty in this one, 28 total. Central defeated Clovis East 17-11. And what a great story Central is this year. All right, Mitch Mulligan was on the show last week, told a story how he had to step down due to health reasons. He had a stroke that affected his vision at first, blurred vision. Found out he had a hole in his heart, and it's taking care of that. So Coach Mulligan is well-respected and well-loved throughout the Central section, and Coach Harrington and some other guys have stepped up, and what a win yesterday against Clovis East. Bullard defeated Edison 16-5, McLean over Roosevelt 10-2. Carruthers defeated Riverdale 11-10. And Liberty Madera, keep on winning, 8-1. Fantastic program. They're going to be in D4 again. They are definitely one of the top teams, top 12 teams in the Valley. They're going to compete in Division 4. That's Liberty Madera. Chowchilla defeated Yosemite 4-1. Tehachapi over West 22-1. Scroll down here a little bit. And Fowler with a 1-1 lead, or 1-1 win, I should say, over Fresno Christian 5-4. Lindsay over Corcoran 4-2. Dos Palos loses to Fireball 9-3. Scroll down a little bit more. We got Aurora Grande over St. Joseph 4-3. Atascadero over San Luis Obispo 8-3. Kingsburg 9-3 over Selma. Holden Hirschkorn got a pitching win then there. And his brother Jensen hit a home run, sophomore. 6'7". He's a big kid. And then two scores. Oh, one more score before I get into these other two. Central Valley Christian defeated Washington Union 7-0. Buchanan defeated Clovis North 4-0. Talked a little bit about Buchanan. I'm going to talk about them more after the break. But Buchanan now swept Clovis North this week. They won all three games, guys. So Coach Fonts takes over on Monday. They were 2-7 in league. And all of a sudden now they're 5-7 after sweeping Clovis North. What does that say? Pretty wild and remarkable. And the game that we did on 1430 ESPN, Clovis West swept Clovis this week, and they beat him 6-3 last night. Clovis West came out and scored 6 runs in the top of the first, and hats off to Clovis. They played shutdown baseball after that, but it stood up. It held. Clovis West did a lot of good things in the first inning, put the pressure on Clovis. Got some good pitching from Jake Turley. Drew some walks and got a couple of timely hits in that first inning, but Clovis West now sits atop the track alone by themselves with an 11-1 record, 21-5 overall. Clovis Falls to 8-4. Central, who I mentioned, has done a great job. They're in third place in the track at 6-6. Buchanan at 5-7. Clovis North now at 5-7, and Clovis East at 1-11. On the CMAC side, I mentioned Bullard with the big win over Edison. They were 13-0. They clinched CMAC two games ago. 13-0 outscored opponents 108-26. They're 20-6 on the season. And check this out. You don't see this very often. The next four teams are tied for first. San Joaquin Memorial, Edison, Justin Garza, and Madera are all 5-7. That leaves Sanger at 4-9. Don't see that very often at all. 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, 5-7. And Sanger at 4-9. So Bullard is definitely the class this year of the CMAC. I want to go over also, there it is, the North Yosemite baseball standings. Fresno High, Coach Pappy, I mentioned, does a great job. They're 11-1. Sunnyside is 8-4. Hoover 7-5. Torres and Sanger is also 7-5. So a three-way tie for third is 7-5. Madera South 4-8. McLean 3-9. And Roosevelt is 1-11. So there's a little wrap-up of the baseball standings and where some scores landed last night. After the break, like I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about Buchanan baseball and their wild week and my perspective and the information that I gathered. I know it's a sensitive subject. I know there are a lot of people involved and lots of, I don't know, I could say rumors out there and thoughts that people had. Some are true, some are not true. So I want to try to, you know, not necessarily set the record straight, but give my opinion and talk to a lot of people this week. So I have some thoughts about Buchanan baseball. Coming up next, you've been listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Fresno Today. If you've got a car, we've got the cash. Get cash for your car. Klaus and Honda.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. So I mentioned in my opener, situation that's happening at Buchanan High School, the situation that has been happening for a while. I said that there are many different opinions about this, a lot of takes, if you will. I think if I would talk to 10 different people about the situation, I might get 10 different perspectives, 10 different answers. But it's definitely a sensitive situation. It's something that hasn't gone unnoticed. I mean, heck, Eric Burns, who played with Troy Glaus, made this huge Instagram message video that he posted about it. He's friends with Troy Glaus, so he's going to have Troy Glaus's perspective on it. So everyone definitely knows what's going on. If you are in the loop, Troy Glaus was let go from his position as a head coach of Buchanan High School. It broke on Monday. Four-time All-Star, World Series MVP, relieved of his duties. Brad Fonts, who stepped down last year due to health concerns, took over, along with Brian Marsubi and Jason Donald, guys very close to the program as well. Subes has been one of his assistants for a long time, as well as with Tom Donald. And Austin Kemp also joined the coaching staff. Well, the news sent shockwaves everywhere. Who's to blame? Who's at fault, right? Is it the parents? The parents force him out. The admin go about this all wrong. Who's controlling the program? All these questions pop up. Did Glaus do anything wrong himself? Could he have done something different? Was it wrong from the get-go? Now, I think, to be fair, I need to start kind of from the beginning, right? How did he even land at Buchanan, and was he the right fit? I remember getting a text like, have you heard of Troy Glaus being a candidate for the job? And I kind of stared at that text. I'm like, you mean the Troy Glaus, the All-Star, the World Series MVP, the MVP champion, World Series champ, I should say, that same one? I said, yeah. I said, absolutely not. What is going on? That is totally out of the blue. And then, sure enough, he ends up getting a job. And so I remember texting other people, texting friends, maybe people that don't follow high school baseball as much. And they were like, what? And they were excited about it. Like, yeah, Troy Glaus has been named the head coach of Buchanan. That's cool, right? Resonates with a lot of people my age that watched him on TV. The Rally Monkey beating the Giants, getting big hit after big hit in the World Series. Yeah, that guy's coming to Clovis, coming to Buchanan, and becoming the head coach. Well, I think after all the excitement wore off, the bottom line is, well, can he coach? Can he coach high school baseball? Can he coach at a high-level program a national level program like Buchanan? So then that becomes the main question. And I went to his press conference. There were about five or six of us media members there. And he said a lot of right things at the press conference, but I felt coming away from that like, oh man, I don't know if he truly gets what it means to be the head coach of Buchanan. I followed Buchanan baseball for a while before I even got into the media, right? I know what they can do. I know the Division I level players that they put out. I've seen the practice, seen how hard they go. I know what it's like from a fan and media perspective, what Buchanan's baseball about, and I didn't. I just came away with more questions than answers. Let's just say that. So I think one of the things that popped up, obviously, was can he relate to high school kids? Can he coach high school kids? Can he run practice like a good high school program would? Then they lose, what, three out of their first four? I think they started 2-7. So then that raises more questions. What's going on over there, Buchanan? Right? They're not winning baseball games. So this is what I have seen on the baseball field. This is what I've heard at practices. They're just run differently, right? When you bring in a new coach at any level, on any sport, what do you always hear? Well, I'm going to bring in my culture, right? And the culture that Troy Gloss tried to have at Buchanan, tried to instill at Buchanan, was way different than, let's say, Clovis Unified baseball is used to, Clovis Unified Sports. This is more of a managerial sense, right? And that's what it is at the pro level. They're called managers. They're not called coaches. They're called managers. They manage the game. They manage spring training sometimes, right? They manage the coaches, manage the pitching staff, so to speak, right? They don't coach them, but that's what high school baseball is. You got to get down and dirty with the kids, all right? You got to know first and third situations. You got to know bunt defenses. You got to know base running situations. All those things, all those little things matter. And the three baseball games that I was able to go watch Buchanan, one we broadcasted, some of those things were lost. I saw things from Buchanan baseball that I hadn't seen before. Not covering first base on a bunt, not backing up, not squaring up throws that aren't online. Just little things like that that certainly matter. Okay? Then I hear that maybe it's a little more relaxed during practice as well. Okay? All that led to the record of 9-14. And at that moment in time, I think admin had to make a choice. Because believe it or not, whether you agree or not, and this isn't the conversation for that, players were transferring out of Buchanan. You don't see that very often, right? And that is a big problem. You got to think about the future of Buchanan baseball, the future of the program. So they made the decision then to let him go with 2 weeks plus left in the season. A couple things I know, though, too, backtracking a bit, that kids loved being coached up. They do. Whether or not they show it, whether or not they appreciate it at the time, man, I've been in education for 27 years. Kids want to be taught up. They want discipline. They do, right? And when they're not coached up to a certain way that they secretly hope for or wish for, right, then they're not going to be happy. They're not going to perform on the field. And I think that was happening at Buchanan as well. Now, Gloss obviously has tons and tons of baseball knowledge. I mean, nobody can question that. Guys played at the highest level, Olympic level, UCLA, high draft pick, right? Won at the highest level. His baseball knowledge is vast, right? Nobody can question that. But oftentimes, the best baseball players aren't the best coaches. Usually the grinders, the guys that have to put in a little bit extra, are the really good coaches, all right? So admin had to make that decision at 9-14, 2 weeks to go. They let him go. Now, is that a good look? No. No. Right? There's going to be egg on somebody's face with that situation. Are there some mistakes? Yeah, absolutely. Was he the right fit for the job? Probably not. Probably not. Do we fault Troy Gloss? Was he put in a situation that he wasn't prepared for? Yeah, I think so. Right? However, Buchanan made that choice. They made the change. Now, from Troy's perspective, he's going to, from what I hear, he's going to move back to the San Diego area where he's from. And he brought his son because he wanted his son to have a great opportunity. He mentioned that in the press conference as well. He loved Clovis Unified and what they stood for. He loved the facilities. He loved the education that his son was going to get. And I heard he's a darn good baseball player as well. And his wife, Ann, super nice lady. Met her up in a booth. Couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be nicer. So now that idea that they have of coming in, now that idea is gone. So they're going back to San Diego. So there's that perspective as well. All right, so where are we at now? So Coach Fonts and crew take over. And I wanted to go see it for myself. So I went Monday when I heard all the news, when it broke. I went to Buchanan. I'm like, I'm going to go check this out. And sure enough, there's Coach Fonts and his crew, and they are coaching up a storm. They are absolutely getting after it. It was a full hour of base running and hitting situations, nonstop coaching after every play. And I came away with like, yep, that's a high school practice right there. That's a high-level high school practice. And hearing about that practice from some kids, they said that was the hardest practice they've been through this year. And they wanted that. They craved that. The good players, the good programs do that. So bottom line, was it doomed from the beginning? Perhaps. Right? Did the admin make a few mistakes? Yeah, perhaps. However, moving forward, are we going to be talking about this for a while? Yeah, probably. The Troy Gloss era. Nothing against Troy Gloss. I hope you guys come away with that. I actually had a one-on-one conversation with him after that press conference. He was as nice as can be. He was. But is Buchanan baseball, which might strike, you know, a little more fear into other programs, is it in a good place right now? Maybe better than last week. Yeah, I would say yes. And what did they do this week? Well, they swept Clovis North. They won that first game. We're like, oh, yeah, Buchanan's back. They won 5-1. Next game, 6-5, a close one. And then the shutout yesterday, 4-0. Now they are 5-7, and now other teams are getting a little worried, right? Now is Coach Fonts going to return next year and year after? Maybe. I believe so. I believe that can happen. So it was a tough situation. Perhaps there are some winners and losers. It's tough to look at situations like that. It wasn't pretty. Lots of false information out there. I hope I provided a little perspective from my perspective, what I gathered about the situation. Right? Am I defending Troy? Am I defending Buchanan? Am I defending the players? Maybe a little bit of everything. But bottom line, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. There were some bridges that were burned as well. But is Buchanan in a better place? Perhaps. I think so. I think the proof is in the pudding this week. All right, that's what I got to say about that. Coming up next, we got Trenton Kemp, Bullard Baseball. You might have some thoughts on that situation as well, but I'm curious to see where Bullard stands right now. They're forced to be reckoned with. How about some of these other schools? What's D1 playoffs going to look like? Who looks strong? Who's going to be scary in the playoffs? All that and more coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I got to be honest. You know, you guys have listened to the show. This is my third year doing the show, and I'm generally a positive guy, right? That's kind of my MO, and I like to bring out the best in people. I like to think I try my best doing that. And you know, the last segment wasn't easy. I had a few notes on that. I had about a page of notes, and just kind of felt it. I rolled through it pretty much verbatim, just looking straight ahead and praying a bit that the right words would come out. But that was a hard segment talking about Troy Gloss. So it's emotional for a lot of people, you know, and got to put everybody in perspective. Look at it from all angles, and I hope, you know, that segment came out, you know, like it was supposed to. You know, there's lots of different things going on about the Buchanan baseball situation, but, you know, it's important to look at it from all different angles. But it's a messy situation, but again, moving forward, Buchanan is in a good place, transfers coming, going out. I mean, all that stuff is for a different conversation, but, you know, it's a situation, it's a life lesson for a lot of people. But anyway, I hope you guys were able to take some things away from that. I want to bring in Trenton Kemp right now. I'm going to talk to him for the next 20 or so minutes. Trenton, I've known him for a while. Actually, my first time seeing Trenton was on the baseball field in that Central Section Championship game in Visalia. And, man, I remember reading about him and going to be a draft pick and, you know, a high-level D1 prospect. I got to see him on the field. And I've gotten to know him over the few years. I did a podcast with his brother Austin for a couple years, and so I've gotten to know Trenton, and he was a really good baseball player, but he knows baseball. He's a good guy as well, and he's a Buchanan grad, coaching at Buller now with Coach Donald. The Knights are 21-5, 13-0 in CMAC. Draft 11th round, am I with the Red Sox?
15, but I mean, I'll take 11.
Okay, we'll bump it up to 11. All right, hold on. Let me turn you up a little bit here, Trent. All right, there we go. So 15th round or 11th round, let's split the middle. Let's say 13th round draft pick by the Boston Red Sox. So, TK, what's going on today, man? The day after a 3-hour game last night?
Oh, my God, yeah. No.
You win against Edison?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had a 3-hour game yesterday. But, no, you texted me yesterday, I believe it was, asking to come on the show. I thought you were going to ask for another hitting lesson, how we did that last summer. I got a text, quick context for the listeners right now. Paul actually texted me last summer, and he wanted to do a hitting lesson. I do some local hitting lessons in town. And we were in the cage working some swings out for maybe, I think it was an hour and a half, kind of 2 hours. That was awesome.
It was. And one of the reasons I filmed it, made a little video of it. And I think when I'm feeling low and down in my life, like I pop up that video, I'm like, yeah, I could still do something. I could swing a bat a little bit.
Yeah.
And you have me use an original Maple Mookie Betts bat. And I tell you what, man, I have not swung a sweeter bat than that wood bat from Mookie Betts. Man, when you hit that ball in the sweet spot with the wood bat, it's got a different sound. That feels good. Way better than anything metal could produce.
Oh, absolutely. We got to run that back soon.
Are you going to charge me $50 again? Venmo?
Maybe more. I think inflation, so it might go up a little bit.
$75. All right. So you actually were sitting next to me, Trenton, when I was talking about Buchanan baseball. I know Buchanan baseball, it's in your blood, right? It's a part of your being and your family's being. You know, what from your perspective, what can you say about that? Obviously, you're now at Bullard, but being a Buchanan grad and your dad coaching there and your brother as well, I mean, how do you try to quantify the situation?
I mean, I think there's a multiple of things that could be said. I just think, listen, whether it worked out for one reason or another, I mean, the number one thing is just – I know that program really well. We've been a part of that program for the last 20 years. Like, the number one thing is why it didn't work is just, one, you just can't let kids leave. And I think that's the biggest problem. I think that's a school that has never let really any kid leave. And, I mean, on the flip side, like, kids have came into that school. But, I mean, when kids are leaving and going to your rival schools and having great years, it's just that's not one thing that should happen with that program. Again, I've scouted them multiple times this year as well. Again, for lack of better words, it seemed like a very unprepared team when I was watching them. It's just for what it is. I mean, whether it be like you said earlier on the show, it's just guys not covering first base. I mean, I've seen guys getting back picked with the bases loaded on first base. It's just things like that usually don't happen at that school. And I went to the game last night, and I mean, I've scouted four or five games for Buchanan earlier in the year. I probably had one page of notes. I mean, now, after last night, I probably wrote three pages on them. I mean, it's no surprise that, I mean, they won three games this week, and that's not a discredit to Coach Prieto at Clovis North. He does a great job, and it's really, really tough to beat those guys. But, again, it's no surprise what I saw this week.
So you saw a marked difference even this week during the games?
Yeah, it's night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just seeing it from the dugout. You're seeing it from the players. It's just, I mean, 90%, 80-90% of high school baseball is kids wanting to get after it for their coaches, kids wanting to get after it on the base pass, kids wanting to get after it in the box, two strikes, whatever that may be. That's something I hadn't seen from Buchanan the previous week. So this week, again, this is a different team, so credit to whoever's in charge, or Coach Fonts and his staff now, and ultimately credit to those players. I mean, that's a really, really hard thing to go through.
And now Buchanan, I believe, from my opinion, has come from – gone from maybe an afterthought, right, where that name Buchanan doesn't scare teams anymore, to now you got to take them really seriously moving forward. I want to talk about where Bullard is at. TK, Bullard, obviously, you know, Tom Donald from Buchanan, and now he's instilling his culture up Bullard. And how would you assess this year's team, right? He started off a little slow, ran into some games where you're losing by one run, and then you start winning some of those games. The guys become a little more comfortable with each other. Now you guys sit at 13-0, 21-5. What are the team's strengths right now?
Yeah, I think strengths, I mean, I think it's going to come to as a surprise to most people, is I like our pitching. Early in the year, even in the offseason, I don't think anybody would have pegged that as a strength of the team. I give a lot of credit to my dad. I mean, He's worked a lot with these pitchers, especially in the bullpen, whether it be flat ground stuff, 45s, weekly bullpens, game day prep, stuff like that. He has these guys really dialed in there, and Coach Gross just calling pitches during the games. But, I mean, no, I think our pitching, I mean, we're going to see some of these numbers at the end of the year. I don't think we have two starters right now, Logan Cunningham and Keenan Gomez, plus some bullpen guys. We have, like, Owen Thomas, Brent Munger, Wyatt Rosenthal. But, I mean, you see some of these starters' numbers at the end of the season. I don't think you're ever going to see a K to like a K to base on balls ratio. Like, I mean, we're talking something crazy. Like, I don't know, 40 innings, 36 strikeouts, two walks for one of the
That's
guys.
Cunningham, right? I guess he doesn't walk anybody.
Yeah, and then same with Gomez. I mean, it's almost a mere similar image of Logan Cunningham. And I think those guys have done a really, really good job. So I think, I mean, for a time in the year when our bats were a little bit cold, I mean, that pitching has really, really carried our team. And it's a credit, again, to the coaches, but mostly the players for sure.
And when you have a pitcher like Cunningham and Gomez now that – you know, decent strikeout numbers, they're not going to overpower you with a lot of things. The defense has to step up. You got to trust your defense. So defensively, I think that's one of your strengths as well. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you're kind of funneling balls at Beckett Zvorak every game, I think that helps a little bit. And I mean, I really, really like our, I mean, before I talked about the outfield, I think a big surprise for us has been our third baseman, Wyatt Rosenthal. I mean, I think he's one of the best third basemen in the section. And this is his first year playing third base. He's really, really good over there. He has third base pretty much on lockdown right now. On, again, you talk about slow rollers, bunt defense, I mean, just routine plays in general. But I mean, I really like our outfield too. I mean, Vincent Robinson is one of the better kids I will probably ever coach in my next 20 years of coaching. He's awesome. Gap to gap guy. We have Nick Stubblefield, who's a crazy animal out there. He will run through a brick wall in practice, whether it's rain, shine, or whatever. He's done a really, really good job as a senior. And Brant Munger in left field. I really, really like our outfield. And like you said, when our pitchers are more so contact guys and you're getting the balls in players' hands, like the Beckett's, the Vorks of the world, the Vincent Robinsons of the world, I think it works out pretty well most times.
And I was only able to check out yesterday's 15-5 win against Edison for about 15 minutes. And I saw your third baseman make – it wasn't a routine play. He came up and got it. It was a slow roller, maybe even a bunt, and threw the first base off balance like he's done it a million times. And I hear he's probably going to be the catcher next 2 years. So when you got a dude like that, right, you're going to need to replace a really good catcher in Porter next year. You know, you got a guy waiting like that can make plays at that level, at that young. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
All right, so – like I mentioned in my opener as well, 13-3, and it's just wacky, right? What, four teams are 5-7? I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. But how does a team like Bullard, who's outscored their opponents, I think it was 108-24 or something crazy like that, how do you stay sharp during that period? Like, do you do some practice simulation against each other? Do you try to create competition that way? But come playoff time, it's a different animal. We found out what happened last year to Bullard when they lost to Centennial at home. That was quite a shocker. But how do you stay sharp during these times?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a very fair question. It also helps that we have one of the more seasoned head coaches around too. Coach Dolan does a really, really good job at practice, getting our guys ready to play for the games. But also, like, to give, I mean, at least a little bit to C-Mac some credit is, I mean, we face some really, really good arms in the C-Mac this year. I mean, you're talking about a guy from Memorial who's one of the best pitchers we've faced, Max Mendez.
He threw a perfect game.
Yeah, game last week. That's no surprise. He's one of the better pitchers in the section, I believe. I mean Madera too. I mean, Madera might scare some teams in the playoffs as well. They have two arms now that they're all healthy as well. We face some good arms from Madera. Edison actually has a couple guys who, I mean, are track level pitchers, if you want to use that term. But mostly it does come down to practice. I think it ultimately falls on the head coach of getting our team ready, prepared for practice and stuff like that. We play two games a week in the CMAC, not three, like the track does. So, I mean, it's prepared. We have more practice days. So more practice days, you got to be more productive on those practice days. So I think that's what it all comes down to.
All right, so let's talk about, you mentioned how you're big on scouting, right? So if you play a game in the afternoon, that's one of the benefits. You get some 3:30 games you could head on and try to catch some 6:30 games, maybe even two games. So, you know, Clovis West, start with them. Clovis West has now taken control of the track. They swept Clovis this week in three games. What do you notice or what do you like about Clovis West this season?
Yeah, the biggest thing that pops out to me about Clovis West, yeah, they got good arms on the mound. You got Patrick. You have Turley, the guy from last night, pitched a great game last night. You have Placencia and other staff who throws on their Tuesday games, who might be bullpen guys in the playoffs. But I like how multiple they are on offense. And I feel like people don't talk about that as much as they should. It's just, especially going from last year to this year, I mean, I give so much credit to that coaching staff. They really have that offense really going. And when I talk about multiple, is can you win a game on any given night, any given day, in any given weather, and any given field? So what do I mean by that? So it's like you talk about playoffs, right? I mean, can you go down to Liberty and match a, I mean, four-run, two-hit inning by Liberty in the top or the bottom of the first? Can you do that? Or can you go to Clovis High and match up with Kasten in a big park? Can you use a small ball game? Can you hit timely doubles and stuff like that? That's one thing I really, really admire about Clovis West on offense, at least this year, is they are able to do some of these small things. They work the small ball game. They can hit doubles. I mean, 1 through 9 in their lineup, they hide guys who can actually leave the yard, especially in these Clovis parks, Clovis West, Buchanan, Clovis East parks like that. I mean, go down to Bakersfield. I mean, any of those parks. They're very, very multiple, and I think that's probably the best compliment I can maybe give an offensive coaching staff. So, I mean, I kind of tip my cap to them for that. And then you add, like, Tyler Patrick on the mound on top of that. That's a tough team to beat, and there's a reason why, I mean, they've rarely lost this year, and they just had that sweep against Clovis. I mean, I saw them last week or the week before, and I said this is probably one of the best teams in the Valley, if not the best. So, I mean, tip my cap to them.
There's been a huge change from last year's mentality for Clovis West and this year's. And we'll be talking with Pat Ware at the bottom of hour number two, so we'll get his perspective as well. So, yeah, really good take on that. All right, so Clovis High, they've run into some, you know, ran into the buzzsaw of Clovis West this week, but they're still a formidable team, and their lineup 1 through 9 is pretty strong. You mentioned Kasten's a dude. I mean, one inning, right? One inning was the reason why Clovis West was able to beat them yesterday. So what do you like about Clovis?
Yeah, I mean, I think you start with Kasten. I mean, I think teams would lie if they weren't saying they aren't scared of facing Kasten in the playoffs, because, I mean, that's a big-time arm, North Carolina commit. Really, really good player, three-year player now for Clovis High. But, I mean, I really, really like just from scouting them and playing against them. We played them 2 games. I mean, we haven't figured out how to beat them. Those 3, 4, 5 guys in that heart of the order, for those of you who play fantasy baseball, it's like that's the guys who you want on your team. You have, I mean, not to discredit Leal, their leadoff hitter. I mean, he gets on just about every time I look up, it seems like. But, I mean, you have, like, the Drake Davis of the world. You have the John Kastens of the world. You have the Deeps of the world. And then the Deegan Rose. I mean, those guys are damaged guys. And, I mean, even this week, I mean, Drake Davis, I saw double-double single, double-double whatever that may be. Those guys can hurt you at any time. They're really, really good players. That's what I really like about Clovis High. It seems like once they get some guys on in that heart of the order, I mean, 1 to 2 runs later, I mean, and then you give the ball to Kasten and good luck.
And you mentioned Deep Chauhan. He hit a homer against Tyler Patrick on Wednesday, one of those moonshots of Buchanan up in the tree. So, yeah, and he's a Buchanan transfer as well. So how about Bakersfield schools? Have you been able to check out any of the Bakersfield schools? Obviously, you know, there's Liberty up there. There's Stockdale, who you never know. I heard they got an arm they got to do. Bakersfield Christian's going to be D2 probably. So, you know, what's going down in Bakersfield?
Yeah,
Centennial as well.
Yeah, what I really liked is the Central tournament we were in at the beginning of the year. We actually got to face some of these Bakersfield teams. We actually went to Bakersfield, I believe, 3-4 weeks in a row. So that was a fun drive to go every Tuesday. But no, I think we played Centennial, Liberty, and then Stockdale in there. And we faced all three of those teams. Liberty obviously has the record to show they're one of the best teams down there in Bakersfield. But like I said earlier, you go down to Bakersfield, you play any of these Bakersfield teams, and you play Liberty this year in the playoffs, you're going to have to go play them at home. I mean, any given lineup or any 1 through 9 in that lineup can leave the yard at any time. They're a good coach baseball team as well. That coach does a really – really good job. They got a couple pitchers that are okay, especially coming in from the bullpen. They got some good velo stuff, but I mean, you start with the shortstop, Brock Thompson. He's the nucleus of that order. But Liberty's really good. I mean, we faced Stockdale. Stockdale shut us out. I think it was 5-6-0 at the beginning of the year. I'm trying to think of the pitcher's name. Salyards. He's really good. He's their ace on the mound. He's going to go 7 innings every game. Stockdale has a lot of good baseball bodies as well. I think that's a little underrated topic to talk about as far as you're scouting a team or about to play against them. I mean, Stockdale has some guys who have the look, athletic bodies, a couple young guys in that order too. Stockdale is going to be tough to beat with Salyard's on the mound in the playoffs. And Centennial has a pretty good arm on the mound. But I would say Liberty and Stockdale are two, and you can add in Frontier too, teams that are going to be really, really tough to beat in the playoffs. And some of those teams might be a little lower seeds. But, I mean, everybody's got an arm, so that's going to be really tough to beat.
We're talking with Trenton Kemp, baseball coach at Bullard. And, yeah, and, you know, on Max Preps, we go by the Max Preps for the D1 playoffs, D2 playoffs, and all that. So it hasn't been updated with the scores from yesterday yet. But you fully anticipate being a 3 seed, a 4 seed? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say 3-4 seed. I would imagine it's going to end up being something like, unless chaos strikes next week, which you never know. But Clovis West probably number one, Liberty number two. I mean, they ought to put Clovis ahead of us because they beat us twice. So I would think Clovis would be probably a number three or so. And then I would anticipate us getting the 4 seed.
Okay. Trent, we got about 5 minutes, and I got to hear some stories, right? You've seen a lot in the minor league system. How about this question? What did you see? So you obviously skipped college, right? You went straight from high school to professional baseball. What's the difference between maybe a college kid, you know, maybe a 21-year-old or 22-year-old that gets drafted and put in single A as opposed to, you know, a pretty high draft pick straight from high school to the pros?
Yeah, like the development or the transition from high school to pro baseball.
Yeah.
Is just, I think it's overwhelming pretty much for the speed of the game. You still are playing against some young guys, say you're in rookie ball or even like a low A, you're playing against some young guys, but the speed of the game is just, it's crazy. I mean, you're going from – I mean, there's good leagues around here, but there's nothing close to, like, some rookie ball arms or rookie ball bats. I mean, I think the speed of the game is – it takes, again, a 1, 2, 3 months for some of these guys to adjust for it. And I remember there was a group of us when I got drafted with the Red Sox, a group of us high school kids that were in rookie ball. And that first 2 months, oh, my God, that was like Nightmare on Elm Street right there. I mean – the speed of the game is so fast. And then guess what? You're facing – you go 0-for-4 one day – or you go for 0-for-4 on Monday, guess what? Tuesday comes around, you're waking up at 6:45 a.m. or earlier if you want to get some early work, and you're facing 96, 97 the next day. And then Wednesday comes around, guess what you're facing? Like, it's not – those pitchers aren't going anywhere, but it's the speed of the game too. I mean, playing balls on defense, like, guys are really, really strong. I mean, you see that going from high school to the JUCO level. Like, imagine what that's like from high school to some of the best players – I mean, in the world, if that's how you want to put it. Just the speed of the game is very, very overwhelming for that initial, like, transition.
When was your first aha moment at the plate? Did you, like, get your bat busted one time on a 96 on your hands? You're like, what the freak was that?
Well, I think it was, I mean, at least a couple weeks in, maybe a little bit more of, I mean, I look at my right hand, my top hand, and I thought it was broken because I was getting jammed so much. I'm like, okay, maybe I should start to learn how to hit a little bit better against these guys. But, no. That wasn't necessarily the aha moment, but I mean, you are definitely forced to adjust. It's an adapt or die situation that you get put in. And I mean, guys can go left, guys can go right. It's kind of up to you.
What's the craziest, like, stadium slash, right? Could you think of all the weird scenarios out there for minor league ballparks or clubhouse? Is there something that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably talk about this for 20 minutes, so I won't. But, like, one really cool one that I like, it was Asheville Tourist. I think they actually filmed some scenes from Bull Durham in that. Picture a mountain in North Carolina, and they just shave off one side of the mountain. They just throw a stadium in there. So the stadium's kind of, like, built around a mountain. And the dynamics of that park, since it was built into a mountain, it was probably 260 down the right field line, but a wall that's like double a green monster. Just super, just weird dynamics. And it's like one thing I really liked about those minor league parks is just very small towns, right? So there's really nothing to do in those towns. So what do? You go to the baseball game every night. So that made it very authentic, I guess, for lack of better words. But no, I like playing in some of these parks. It's very unique, like you said, for sure.
How about food? Do you have some terrible food?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you go on the road and it's like, where are we going? I hope there's like a Denny's right by us. I hope there's a Chipotle. Or else I'm probably eating at Arby's or the diner. One of my favorite was that we played in a super small town. There was no food places. There was one food place called The Diner.
The Diner.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Get the special every day.
Whatever's on the marquee, right, when you walk
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly.
Give me that, right?
Yep.
$4.95. All right, Trenton, we got about two more minutes here. You got a Ronald Acuna story? True?
Yeah, there's a couple. It was more so from one of my buddies who played with Ronald Acuna.
Okay.
I'll give you a better one. Well, one of my buddies played with Ronald Acuna at the Arizona Fall League. He said he was just the most talented baseball player he's ever been around. Not to discredit like what he does, but he said that he would show up probably 10 minutes right before game time. He'd go 4 for 4, leave, show up again 10 minutes right before game time, show up and leave, stuff like that. Just super talented player. I'm not saying he does not work hard or anything, but it kind of speaks volume for like just natural God-given talent that like you'll see at that next level, like I talked a little bit about earlier.
And that, yeah, just some guys. I mean, let's be honest, right? You're a pretty high draft pick. You had a lot of talent. You got a, you know, great frame. You had 5 tools. You could do a little bit of everything. But when you saw a guy that was just even different from you,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean, like, you'd be like, oh, okay, God, you obviously gave
it's
that guy something different.
Very, very humbling, that's for sure.
All right, TK, good stuff as always. So the Knights, who do you got next week?
We have Sanger. Yeah, we have Sanger this week coming up,
Sanger.
Last week of league.
So Tuesday and Friday games?
I think it's Tuesday, Thursday this week because of the playoffs.
Okay. All right, Tuesday, Thursday. All right, good stuff as always, my friend. I appreciate you. Appreciate your honesty. Again, yeah, anytime you want to come on and share some more of those stories, man, I love your minor league stories. It's great stuff.
Yeah,
so
this is awesome.
Anytime.
I have fun doing this for sure.
All right, so I'm going to have to figure out how to get $50 so I could take another hitting lesson so you could tell me how much I need to improve
family,
my swing.
I'll give you the family discount.
All right, family discount. All right, good stuff. All right, TK, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Top of hour number 2, we'll take a break, and we'll talk to Redwood coach Dan Haydash on 1430 ESPN.
That's better. The set report starts now.
Hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Definitely the place to be, place to get your Letterman's jacket, your baseball equipment, your basketball equipment, your football equipment. I bought tons of stuff for my athletic programs here as well. Just put it on the tab, right? If I ever need anything, I come here. They hook me up. Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. Thank you to First String Sports for being my day one sponsors. We had a really good conversation with Trenton Kemp, an assistant coach at Bullard. And I asked him in advance if I could ask him about that Buchanan situation. And he was very honest and open with me. And I appreciate that about him. So, you know, the Kemp family was at Buchanan, and now they're at Bullard. So just lots of moving parts. And, you know, we wish everybody well, right? There's no – try not to have hard feelings anywhere around life. It just makes my life more difficult. But I like to talk about the good stuff. But lots of great things happening up and down the central section. This has been a baseball-heavy show. We're going to continue that right now. I have Dan Haydash on the show. He's the baseball coach at Redwood in Visalia. Earlier in the season, it was really cool, won his 200th career game. Rangers are currently, I believe, 21-5. I don't think Max Preps updated their win yesterday. They're undefeated in East Yosemite League action. They've outscored opponents at that time, I think before yesterday's game, 100-23. Been coaching at Redwood since 2014. Hey, Dan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Love talking about high school baseball. So what's a day like on a Saturday after a game? And I believe you have another game today, right? So what's going on for you for the rest of the day?
No, the game that was regularly scheduled for today got moved to yesterday. So I actually have today off from baseball, but really a typical Saturday for the Haydash family. Got up, my wife and I went and got coffees, got some breakfast, went to Lowe's. We'll be doing some stuff in the backyard a little bit later. A couple more errands to run in the afternoon, maybe go shopping somewhere. But pretty typical Saturday, nice relaxing day.
Those days are absolutely great. So are you kind of a handyman guy? You said you're going to Lowe's. Do you like to fix things up and build things and landscape and do all that stuff?
You know, my wife and I really like to do-it-yourself projects. And a couple of things we've been working on is we have 2 lab puppies. So if you know anything about lab puppies, they're pretty destructive. So they've done some damage in our backyard that we fixed, and even in our laundry room a little bit, trying to eat our house a little bit. So we had to go out and get some stuff to repair a few things. But it's kind of fun. We enjoy doing it. And like I said, it just kind of, it keeps us busy, definitely.
Well, yeah, owning a dog or 2 or 3 or 4 is like raising children, right? It's almost a full-time job in amongst itself. So last night,
I tell people that kids are easier.
Kids can be easier. You're right. You just have to pick up laundry sometimes with your kids, and for dogs, you got to pick up a lot more than that. So, Coach, yesterday you guys, you mentioned you played Menachi. I think it was a makeup game. So talk about, you came away with a 9-6 win. Just talk about that game a little bit and the ebbs and flows of it. Did you guys take the lead first? Did you have to hold it off? Did Menachi come back and make it interesting?
Well, so, again, it was regularly scheduled for today. Because of the possibility of rain today, they moved it to yesterday. So we had actually had a transportation issue. So we didn't arrive at Menachi High School until 25 minutes before first pitch. And if you know anything about baseball, you know it's a highly routined sport, especially when you're talking about getting a starting pitcher going, getting swings in before the game. So, again, 25 minutes before first pitch, very rushed, really didn't get our swings in, didn't really get proper warm-up. Starting pitcher was rushed to get ready to go out there. But I like the way we responded. Last year we had a senior-heavy team with a lot of senior starters. This year I knew coming in we would be a lot younger and more inexperienced. But I've been very happy with the way they've handled adversity and challenges. And, we started off the game yesterday. We scored 3 in the first against them. And then we kind of, didn't do much offensively for the next few innings. And, we had planned coming into the game that we were going to kind of Johnny Holstaff it on the mound. We're going to get several pitchers in and looking at, a couple innings for 3 different guys and then having another pitcher throw that 7th inning just to get a little more work in before the final week of the regular season. And all the pitchers did really well. Menachi came out like everybody does against us. They were ready to play. They want to beat us. So they played a really good game. They hit the ball very well. I've been pretty impressed all year with Menachi's offense, and they did exactly that yesterday. So we had to make some big pitches and some big spots to come away with a win there. And again, very proud of my guys and the way they responded to all the things that were going on. And again, it's getting late in the year. It's been a long season, and 3 of the guys that threw for us yesterday are sophomores. And they've carried a lot of the load this year on the mound. And it's been pretty exciting and cool to see. And just the way they've responded in some big games this year and how they've matured and grown into their roles. But to see them make big pitches and big spots. And, again, offensively, we had some big hits with 2 outs and, 2 out knocks win games. And we did enough to win. And, again, when you're looking at this time of the year, you'll take any W. And again, I was very happy with our guys.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned last year's team was senior heavy, so you've had a lot of youngsters have to come up and play important roles this season. Tell me more about the personality of this team, and is it a well-balanced team? Do they enjoy playing together? Have they been playing together for a long time? You have really good pitching, or tell me about the makeup of this year's squad.
Well, coming in, we knew that we would have arms. We knew that we would have, an Eric Rico back that would lead the staff and a couple others. But after that, it was a lot of question marks because, again, we were going to rely on a lot of younger guys and a lot of guys that didn't get a lot of innings last year just because we had the Joey Volsko, the Reese Bueno, the Joey Rico, those type, Alex Hernandez. And so, again, it was a question mark on the mound. Well, they proved pretty early that they were going to carry us. The pitching was going to carry us early in the season. The bigger question mark was, were we going to hit enough? We knew we would pitch and play defense. The bats were a little slow to come around, again, just because we didn't have that experience. Because, again, I think we started typically – at least 7 senior starters last year. So a lot of the guys that were on the team, that are on the team this year, didn't have a lot of varsity at-bats against some of the good pitching that we were going to see. So, again, we struggled a little bit. That was something that we talked about a lot with the guys. So, hey, if our pitching is carrying us, if we can just get the offense going a little bit more, we're going to be okay this year. And that's something that we focused on in practice. Really the offensive side. And again, the players have bought in. I have a great coaching staff, and they work their butts off, and they're really starting to show what they can do offensively, which has been good because pitchers aren't going to be perfect every outing, and you're going to need that offense. And another thing I'm really proud of is, and this kind of starts at our lower levels, I have a really good JV coach, Chuck Andrews, that kind of builds what it means to be a good teammate down at our JV level. And when we get guys on varsity, our guys have been very, very tight, tight-knit group every year for the last several years. They all get along. They're selfless. They play for each other. They're great teammates. And the chemistry has always been good. We have a practice that we do the night before each game. There's a different family that will host a dinner. And the players seem to really, really enjoy that. And it's just chances to bond. Again, after practice, there's always players hanging around 15, 20 minutes after practice, getting extra swings on their own, just hanging out because they enjoy being out there and they enjoy each other. And I think that's played into a lot of our success, is just having that tight-knit chemistry. And that's something that obviously we hope to continue.
And it's certainly shown on the baseball field, that the tight-knit community that you guys there has translated to wins on the baseball field. So, Coach, you haven't shied away from scheduling, the big boys, and your program is a Division I program as well. So you've played Central High, you've played Liberty of Bakersfield, Frontier, Bullard, that good win against Bullard, Clovis West. Is that what you envisioned for this program since you started in 2014? You don't want to play against the best teams in the Central section no matter what?
Well, and that's what it's all about. And we also scheduled Clovis for a non-league game later in the year. Once we return from Easter break after the great Fresno tournament that they have every year, we played Clovis right after that. And yeah, I got to Redwood. 2014 was my first year, and when I got there, they were kind of a middling D2 program. They hadn't had a lot of success, and from day one, it was like, hey, nothing against D2. D2 is awesome. There's a lot of great teams in D2, but our ultimate goal was we want to be a Division I team every year in and year out. And 4 years later, once I got there, we had been to three D2 section games. We're fortunate to win two of them, and the next step was Division I, and we embraced that from day one. So we want to see those tough teams because we consider ourselves one of the top teams every year, and that's the mindset that we have. And again, we schedule those top teams because once we get to playoffs, we want to be ready, and we play those tough teams beginning of the year over Easter break, and then we get back into league, and I think that helps us go. And again. That's what it's all about for us, being a top, a Division I team year in and year out. A couple of those games I'd like to get back. Actually, there's two. Frontier was a early game in the year. They have a great team. They're well coached. That was when we weren't hitting a whole lot. The pitching was there, but I think it was 2-1 going in to the seventh. And our pitcher, faltered a little bit, not much, but we just didn't hit. And I'd like to, again, all respect to Frontier. They're a great team, but that's one that I would like to get back just to play that again with the way our bats are going now. And also the Clovis game, again, another greatly coached team. They have so much talent. We hit a little bit that day, but we had two other league games. We walked too many guys, we hit some guys, and that would be a game that I'd like to get back as well. And if we pitch a little bit better that day, I think we have a chance to hang with them too. So, really a couple games I'd like to get back, but, that's the story every season, right? There's always those ones that you want to get back, but
now there is
remember
that.
The ones that we pull out. That,
yeah, and that's baseball, right, Coach? A bloop hit here, a bad hop here, and that game goes a different direction. We're talking with Dan Hydash, the baseball coach at Redwood in Visalia. So, obviously, this show is based in Fresno, right, First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. And we talk a lot about the local teams and, Fresno and Clovis and even the Fowlers, Selma's, Dinubas, and Emanuels and those. We talk, you know, every once in a while about South Valley schools in Tulare County. You know, talk a lot about Central Valley Christian, especially the great year that they had in football. And, you know, we need to know, I think, here, especially our listeners, a little bit more about what baseball is like in Tulare County, in the Visalia and Tulare areas. How would you compare, maybe, how would you just describe what baseball is like, even up from, you know, Cal Ripken, because you hear about some of these Cal Ripken teams in Visalia that go on and win these national tournaments at a young age. But how do you best encompass what baseball is like in that area?
Competitive. Very, very competitive. And talking to other local coaches, and we get it. You know, Fresno Clovis has always been on the radar, and a lot of the shows are located in Fresno, Clovis area. But there's a lot of great baseball in Tulare County. We've been able to do some things at Redwood. El Diamante has had a lot of success the last several years. Mount Whitney has had so many good players come through. Look at what Tulare Western's done over the last several years. The athletes that come out of some of these programs are guys that go on to the next level and have a lot of success. And ultimately, as a high school coach, when teens and high schools are sending guys to the next level and they're having success, I think that says a lot about the baseball culture of that area. And we've done that in Tulare County. There's been a ton of guys go on and have success in college and some in the pros. And again, I think it is overlooked a little bit. Again, we've got a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players in Tulare County, and sometimes they don't get the recognition I think they deserve. But you know what? I also think that adds to the fire a little bit. At Redwood, we know we're kind of overlooked a little bit. I don't think we are by other schools, but sometimes, you know, rankings and things. But that's what fuels us. And I really kind of wouldn't have it any other way, because that's that motivation that you need sometimes to say, hey, you know, we are up here with these other teams. Now let's just go out and prove it day in and day out. So, but a lot of great baseball down there.
Yeah, and obviously I've kept track of Redwood for the last, 3-4 years especially, and a name that started coming on the radar, like, yeah, they got a dude over there. And last year, Joey Volchko, that name popped up a lot over the last couple years, ended up signing with Stanford. But at your games, there were dozens and dozens of scouts who had come by. Describe what that experience was like. And how you approach that as a coach. You obviously want to protect your guy, want to protect Joey, don't want any outside, noise to affect your team. But how did you and your staff just kind of approach that, and did you ever turn those things into a positive?
Well, first and foremost, hats off and all respect to Joey Volchko. I'm telling you, if you want an ideal baseball player on your team, he is it. Great in the classroom. Obviously, he's going to Stanford. Mature beyond his year. So I don't know if you know, but he's still only 18. Volchko doesn't turn 19 until this summer. So he really technically could be a senior. But mature beyond his years. The way he handled it for a 17-year-old in high school to look up in the stands every game, and this was every game that he pitched. He had at least 15 scouts right behind home plate watching him pitch. The way he handled it, the way he carried himself was just amazing. And I was just awed by it all the time, because I know, thinking, myself, if I'm 17 and this is going on, I would not have handled it like that. I don't know of a lot of people that would have. But again, that just kind of shows how he was raised. His family, he has a great family, very supportive. His younger brother, Jack, is a sophomore pitcher for me that's done a great job for us. But just the makeup of him, and again, he's a quality baseball player, but he's such a great young man. And, again, he handled it great. It was positive. And the other guys, his teammates, well, who wouldn't be excited when you have, the general manager for the Dodgers at the game and all these scouts from the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Guardians, you name it, they're all there. So his teammates got excited to play in front of those guys too. But again, I can't talk enough how impressed I was with the way Joey handled that. And like I said, he's had a great season at Stanford, and it's just so fun and great watching these guys have success at the next level. So really proud of them.
And I can attest to that as well. And thanks to you, Coach, for letting me interview him. I got to have him on the show last year, and I could speak to all of that. He's a great kid, and he's just one of those kids that I think everybody's going to follow his career, and we're definitely rooting for him. Coach, I want to ask you about – got a couple more minutes here – about Max Preps and the rankings. You mentioned how you are you run your program like a D1 type program, and you want to be one of the best programs in the Central Section. Do you like check Max Preps rankings all the time, every other week? Do you wonder where you're going to fall right now? Obviously, it hasn't updated with yesterday's games, but I think we could throw out Bakersfield Christian because they're going to be a D2, and Cabrillo is up there as well. They're going to be probably D2 as well. So you guys might fall around the 7th or 8th seed in the Central Section, maybe 6th as well. So do you follow these a lot? Do you agree with how the Central Section does the rankings?
You know what? I don't. you know, Max Preps, I mean, I trust me, I'm curious this time of the year, though, you know, the last couple weeks, I've paid a little bit more attention, but to follow Max Preps rankings at the end of February, early March is kind of pointless to me. There's so many games left, and you can go on a little winning streak or a losing streak. So I really wait until more of the end of the season. And then again, I'm not getting on Max Preps every day and seeing where our rankings are. I don't think I've actually done it once this year. I'm really, you know, next week I'll go in and look at it. But again, I have a couple coaches on my staff that pay more attention. They kind of give me updates on where we're at. But personally, myself, I don't do that. You know, we're going to play all the games at the end of the year. We're going to look at where we're at. One thing that I would like to see a little different is they have all the coaches, the D1 coaches, rank teams, and you'll start with your number one, who you think is number one. You'll add your own team in there wherever you think you fit, all the way down to 16. And I wish they would put a little bit more into that, because I think for the most part, coaches are pretty honest to where they see themselves and who they know who the top teams are. Like, I mean, we played a lot of these teams. I know Clovis West is very good. I know Clovis is very good. I know Liberty's very good. I know Bullard's very good. Frontier, all these teams, I know they're very good teams. So I think coaches have a really good idea where teams belong, and I would definitely take the thoughts of coaches over a computer-generated ranking system. So that's one thing that I would like to tweak a little bit about the rankings, a little more weight given to coaches ranking teams.
I agree. The computer rankings can be a little wonky. Eyeball tests are usually the best way to go about it. And interesting thing about the way our Central Section works with baseball playoffs. So there's base divisions, and you can move up or down a division based on your record. Division One, there's actually only 14 teams that are in base D1, and there's going to be a full 16-team bracket, meaning you guys are base D2, so you're going to move up to D1. You're ready for that. I think another team that might be, Aurora Grande's got a decent team. So there's going to be some movement, and there's definitely some wonky things about the way our playoff system works. But the bottom line is we got to win the game in front of you. Wherever you're placed, you just got to go. There's no excuses, right?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of Division One. You can be a top four team and play a 13, 14, 15, or 16 and get beat any day. Because one of the things that's been really evident this year is every team has a guy, if they, and maybe two, that can beat anybody on any day. And definitely at the Division One level, everybody's got at least one guy. They probably have two or three. D2, everybody's got a guy, maybe two. That's just the way it is. And yeah, it's dog eat dog. Division One is no joke. And D2, again, is going to be full of a ton of talented teams. And you've got to show up every day ready to go. And I think that's one of the things that's helped with us is, again, especially in our league, everybody wants to beat us. So we get everybody's best. And we've had that mentality for years, like, hey, we cannot show up against anybody and expect to win. We just can't walk out and say, hey, Redwood's here, lay down and let us beat you. Everybody comes to play us. And I think that over the years has helped us once we get to playoffs, being ready and not overlooking anybody. So
Absolutely. Good words. Coach Hydash, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. You end next week with a game at home against Golden West and then out Mount Whitney to close out the season. Always look forward to the playoffs and hope to catch one of your guys' games. I know you're doing a great job down there in Visalia. Appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some of your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor. It was a great time. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. That's Redwood coach Dan Hydash. We're going to bring up another coach in the house. Really looking forward to this. Pat Ware is coming on. Pat Ware, I've known him for a while as well. He's at Clovis West right now. He's got some great stories to tell. And the Clovis West Golden Eagles are playing great baseball right now. They're hitting the baseball. And Coach Pat Ware is one of those reasons for it. We're going to talk to him coming up on the break, after the break on 1430 ESPN.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.
Segment, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meadows, live here at First String Sports. You can follow me on the Twitter, on the X. Still refuse. I'm in that camp. I'm not calling it X. It's still Twitter to me. I don't care what Elon Musk does. All right. Still Twitter at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors. Had a good conversation with Coach Hydash of Redwood High School. You know, it's interesting. You hear about some of these teams in the South Valley. You don't really know unless you go to a game or, right, or you talk to people. You don't know really what these teams are about, but yeah, Redwood, especially last year, we talked about Joey Volsko, and there was that crazy game. They lost to Centennial at home, and I think there was a really bad call in the game, a fair foul that was overturned, and things just got crazy after that. But when you got a high-level player like Volsko, he was going to go in the third round, first round maybe. I mean, just crazy, crazy talented pitcher. I don't think he was going to sign. I think he had planned to go to Stanford the entire time. So when you got a high-level dude like that, you know, You gotta take care of your program. You mentioned how scouts were always at the game and how his team, you know, got some exposure, but under pressure, those types of things can be difficult. All right, talking with Pat Ware. It's to my left, assistant coach at Clovis West, Golden Eagles, 21-5, 11-1 in the track after sweeping Clovis this week, 6-3 win last night. We were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. Coach at Fresno State, national title in 08. And, oh, yeah, helped it get Aaron Judge. I love that story. I'm going to make him tell that story again. I've heard it 5 times, and I'm going to hear it a 6th time. I love it. Helped him become a Bulldog. So what's going on today, Coach? I see you got, an El Pollo Loco? You're hitting that place early. Got a cup already.
I had coffee this morning. Am I on there?
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
I had coffee this morning before practice, and I don't really drink soft drinks that often, but like a Coke sounded really good. So I stopped at Del Pollo Loco and got a Coke.
All right, I guess it's lunchtime still.
Yeah.
It's not morning. So got yourself a Coke. All right, just right across the street here. So let's what's your agenda usually on Saturdays after a game? I see you got some hitting charts here. You brought us here. You're never not coaching. So what do you usually do on Saturdays?
Saturdays usually for us, we've been playing pretty good for the last couple of months, and early in the year you're fighting rainouts and rained out practices and whatnot, so when you get dry Saturdays you got to use those like a regular practice day. This time of year is more about you're playing 3 games a week in our league, so it's not really about going hard on Saturdays. You want to let guys rest to get healthy, and so we basically on Saturdays just open the cages, and if guys want some extra early work, some one-on-one time, some guys need to throw bullpens that may not have gotten extended during the week or didn't get in, you know, your Tuesday starter's got to throw a pen on Saturday. And it's super structured on Saturdays early in the year, and then as you move along, it's a little more loose. And today was still riding that high a little bit from last night, so guys are feeling good about it. And there's a lot of joking around and looseness, and it's just they're a fun group to be around right now, especially after the last couple weeks. So.
Well, I think it's that 11 straight.
Yeah.
11 straight wins. What going into this week with Clovis High, right, you knew this was a huge week. Both teams were 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you were going to face some pretty good pitching as well. And obviously, you guys got some good pitching. So what was the mindset that you tried to instill You and the staff with this week?
We're old this year. You know, we've got 15 seniors, and they're the primary drivers of this group, right? You know, Ty with 4 years of experience, Mark Anthony Carroll with 4 years of experience, Dom DeCagno 2 years with us, and some other seniors that have really had good senior years that were more role players last year, like, you know, Ray Peraza and Luke Ragoza. They're the ones driving the bus right now, which is really fun to watch them do that. And so going into this week, you know you're going up against a very well-coached team. JD does a fantastic job, and his whole staff. Very talented players. They've won big games this year. It's a proud program with a lot of winning that's happened, and they expect to do that from the foundation that James built over there. And so we knew that, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to win a championship at any level in any sport. And we'd been playing well. We've been playing well the last handful of weeks, and we just kind of told the guys that just relax, man, have fun. You know, I kind of stole an old Mike Batesel line, you know, play like you're playing kickball at recess and just compete your tails off and have the best time you can have and enjoy this week, because it's going to be super competitive and it's going to get a little chippy. It's going to be all those things. There's going to be great crowds, and just soak in that environment and know that, you know, there's no pressure. It's a high school baseball game, right? Your parents really care. Our administrators really care. We really care. There's a lot of people on the planet that don't. So just enjoy it. Have fun. And they kind of grabbed a hold of that and took that kickball at recess mentality and really played like that this week. I was really proud of their tenacity, especially in that game where we're down 7-0 right away. There was no panic in the dugout. They were very calm, and they felt as if we're going to win this game. Just relax. Everybody relax. We don't need to have a team meeting. We don't need to, you know, say let's go 100 times, all that stuff. They did a very good job with that. And that's just because we're old.
Yeah, you know, seniors. Yeah.
Young kids can't do that. Freshmen and sophomores and even juniors without a bunch of experience can't handle that. But the seniors we have really handled that well. So
what moment? Do you think there was a moment in the three games? You mentioned how they were calm after being down 7-0, I think, after two innings, right?
Yeah.
Was there a moment that maybe you kind of witnessed with the program or with the game, with any of those three games? You're like, okay, yeah, these guys kind of get it right now.
It's going back to the Buchanan series and then the Clovis East series before that, when we were down one of the games and came back to beat East, which, by the way, in my house is the worst week of the year. My stepson Bradley is their catcher, and he's a really good player, and they've got good players on that roster too. And I've known all those kids since they were in Little League.
Yeah.
I think when I was coaching at East, you know, we helped run that baseball tryout for Clovis Babe Ruth. I think I've thrown batting practice to every kid in that program at their tryout when they were 9. And so that's a hard week to coach against those kids, especially Bradley. My dog doesn't even like me that week.
Yeah.
But we've kind of been on a steady climb a little bit with our mentality, and the group on our team, they all have really good relationships with each other, and we've been really intentional as a staff about that. We have morning meetings a couple days a week where we've tried to inject the importance of that and the importance of relationship building within a team, within leadership roles, within how we handle adverse environments, and gotten a lot of stuff from a group called the Positivity Project that is in our district, with a lot of lessons about how to do those things. I wish I'd found it earlier in my coaching career, just because it's all the things you want in good teams, and this is a way for us to be intentional about trying to interject that stuff. And it all just kind of built toward what they've done the last couple months, I think. So I don't know if there was one moment. I think it's just been like a steady.
All-encompassing.
Yeah.
Right, all-encompassing. So the transformation from last year to this year has been impressive, right? It's been a stark transition. I got some numbers for you, and I think you're a numbers guy. And, you know, I'm doing this just to show how much this program has improved. Last year, the team hit 218 overall, 341 on base percentage. This year's team batting average, 331 and a 466 OBP, more than 100 points each.
Yeah.
Simple question.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Old, mature players. Kids got more physical over the summer and over the fall, for sure. They really did a good job in the weight room. They have another year of experience. And you know, last year you had Munster, who was a phenomenal high school player and will be that also at Fresno State when he's healthy. And then a bunch of kids around him that weren't quite ready to do it at that level yet, just from a maturity standpoint. And they got there over the summer, and they got there over the fall. And Kevin does a really good job of letting his coaches coach and letting his players play and letting them develop without putting roadblocks in their way, without creating unnecessary adversity for them. He's just really good and steady with that, and it allowed them the opportunity to grow. And I think offensively, they're just old and physical. And we had some struggles early in the year, you know, like some teams do, and they fought through it. And I think their ability to understand that you're never going to play a perfect baseball game. You're going to make an error. You're going to take a cold third. You're going to give up a two-strike hit. You're going to give up a bomb in a big moment. But if you can just stay the course, you got a better chance of winning anyway. And fighting through that VUCA type of environment, they've done a really good job with that all year.
Well, the games that I've been to, including last night's game, that first inning especially, is it seems like this year's team really has figured out how to approach an at-bat. Situational hitting, how to adjust maybe even during an at-bat, seeing good pitches. Is that all stuff that has been a byproduct of the last, you know, of all these things that you guys are doing, just taking pitch by pitch and taking their at-bats maybe more seriously? Is that probably not?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're always serious about it. I think you're right. Their ability to understand what an at-bat looks like in different situations versus others. If you look at our lineup, you got a bunch of guys with a bunch of experience, and you really only gain that through experience. And we've got so many other really good players that you would love to give those opportunities to also. And when you're winning, you don't change much, right? And there's some other guys that are just as good and doing the same things that these guys are that are in the lineup every day. And that experience helps them understand that, you know, what to anticipate, the think ahead part of it. You know, when you're given a sign or you're trying to do something offensively, to get them to be able to think along with you has gotten way easier throughout the year just because of their experience. They're out there, and we have those conversations too on practice days and during BP and within the work we get done all week. And they're a smart group. They have a high baseball IQ, relatively speaking, for high school baseball players. And you know, everybody writes on the board, what's your goal this year, right? Well, we want to win a championship. Well, everybody says that.
How
right?
do you do it? Yeah.
It's sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's clutch. Sometimes it's having better players than the other team. Sometimes it's just playing cleaner games. And we've had a little bit of that in different moments throughout the season. But I would go back to I think the reason our offense has been clicking the way it has been, and we've pitched really well also. And you got to credit Billy Seamus for that, man. He's got that same veteran, calm presence when he's talking to kids in between innings and when he's calling pitches. And it's just been it's been really nice to let players play. And, you know, when they're young and early in the year, you're driving them, right? You're pushing them. You're harder on them. You're maybe a little more punitive in certain areas than you want to be. And then as they get older and as they have success, you're able to back away from it a little bit and just let them do their thing. And they've done that.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but what you just explained to me seems a lot like the 2008 national championship team at Fresno State, right? Just kind of they were gelling at the right time and baseball's like, you guys just go out and play the game. Is that what it felt like?
And obviously, I spent 10 years with Bates, and get to see him next weekend. I'm pretty excited about that. Obviously learned a lot coaching with him. I was a head coach at the high school level very young. I think I was 24 when I got the job in Dinuba. And you don't know what you're doing when you're 24. I mean, you played, you think you know what you're doing, and you coach kind of how you were coached. And it was really good for me when I went to work for him. I think I was 32 or however old I was, and having an actual mentor for the first time in my coaching career. And that was a big thing with him is, you know, he's hard to play for. You got to be the right kind of guy. You got to be super tough. And if you're not, you'll get super tough or you won't,
or you're washed
out. Won't last. But one of the things he was really good at was knowing when to let him go. And all of our really good teams, 06, 07, 08, even in 9, when we won that tournament in Hawaii, and then 11 and 19, he knew right when to, okay, they're ready, let them go. And that's something I always try to think about is at what point are they ready to not have to be driven so hard or pushed so hard. And this group, a couple months ago, they started that process, and you still got to coach them, but and hold them accountable and push them when they need to be pushed, but it's much less at this point.
And one player I wanted to talk about is Tyler Patrick, right? I mean, that last name certainly goes a long way. Grandpa mm-hmm. James and Dad Kevin and Uncle Chris. And so, right, the pressure of being a Patrick, and he came on my show a few weeks ago. It was just one-on-one, and he did great. And I asked him about that a little bit, and he said, you know, this year I feel like I can be my own mm-hmm. person. My senior year, football's behind me, right?
Yeah.
Junior year's behind me. I'm going to go all in for my senior year. There's been a big transformation I've seen personally with him. I mean, he's always been competitive, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of his blood. And, you know, on the mound, you put him out there, and, you know, if he throws a bad pitch, he'll get that ball back, and he'll snap it, right? And he's, like, getting on the mound. And at the plate as well. You know, he's up to, what, as of before yesterday, 34 hits and 34 RBIs. I mean, that's a phenomenal ratio.
Yeah.
So going to Fresno State, all that stuff, right? So how have you personally seen a kid committed to Fresno State early? Everybody knows about him. Everybody's out to beat him, football field, baseball field. How have you seen that kid grow from last year to this year?
He's one of my favorite kids I've ever coached. He's so mature. Even last year he was, and I'd never really spent much time with him other than a little bit here, a little bit there when he was, you know, a freshman or a sophomore, not a lot. But I really got to know him last year, and that is hard. It's hard to be a coach's kid. It's hard to be the grandson of a legendary high school baseball coach in this area. It's hard to, whether you're my son who's a freshman, or Labby's kids that are going to go through, or Jason Donald's kids that are going to go through, or Jason when he went through, being Tom's son, the Batesel boys, when your dad is involved in the baseball community, there's a high expectation that comes with that from you. And this year especially, he's really handled that like a man, and become his own Patrick, right? It's no longer James's grandson or Kevin's son or Chris's nephew. That's Tyler. Like, he's created his own path, and that's really difficult for a lot of kids. Can't do that, and that speaks to how he was raised and what Kevin and Jen have done with him as a young man. And he's just a great kid and super mature and understands what he is. He's going to be a great college pitcher, I think he's getting an opportunity to hit too once he gets to Fresno State. But I think the pitchability side of things with the breaking ball, and he's got enough of a fastball. I think he was up to 93 at one point this year. Ovi's got a guy that he can pitch right away as a freshman. He can run him out there. He knows what he's going to get, and that's really important at that level to know what you're going to get out of the bullpen or out of a starter.
What is the biggest transition, Pat, from, you think, college? I asked Trenton. Trenton Kemp was here. He obviously went from high school straight to professional. He signed. And he said, man, first 2 months, the speed of the game really got him, right? He thought he broke his hand a few times just swinging the bat and getting jammed. But you've been around D1 a long time. You've been around high school kids a long time. What's the biggest transition you think the kids have to make?
It's the same thing. Not as drastic, though, right? Because guys that sign out of high school from a tools perspective are better, right? But at the college level, it's the same jump, just not as big of a jump. It's the speed of the game. It's the expectation of the game. And that's why it's really hard for freshmen and sophomores to have success in high school and in college, because they're just not ready to be coached like that yet, to be coached with that expectation of performance in front of a packed house. You know, the speed of the game is gigantic. Everything's hit harder. Defenders are faster. Balls don't fall that you hit unless you really hit them on the screws. But then the other part of the college thing is you're in class every day. You're in the weight room every morning. You're in study hall every afternoon after practice. And then you wake up and you do the same thing again.
It's more job-like.
And again and again. And it's the responsibility level that those kids – the kids that get recruited to go play college baseball are almost always good enough physically, almost. It's all the other stuff they have to do that kind of makes or breaks their ability to be successful at that level. The academic piece, the weight room piece, they have to be very serious about their routine in order to get as good as they need to get to help their head coach win games. And the other part is, you know, at the high school level, if you're a high school coach and you step down or they tell you you don't win enough, if you're a teacher, you got your classroom job. That's how you're paying your bills. And if you're a college coach and you don't win enough games, you got to sell your house and move. And so it's a little more not important. There's definitely more pressure at that level. And the expectation's greater.
So when you were recruiting kids, right, you'd hop on, you'd watch some JC kids, some high school kids. You have a little loop of who you would look for. What type of players were you looking for when you coached with Bates?
From a position player standpoint, you know, they got to have a tool, the run tool. They got to be a defender in the middle of the field primarily, you know, your catchers, your shortstops, your center fielders. I, on our national championship team, the only guy that wasn't a high school shortstop were our catchers. Everybody else was a shortstop in high school, except Steve Sestorf, who was a left-handed thrower. You got to run. You got to be able to run because everything just happens faster. Not just running to first or scoring from first on a double, but you got to get out on a double cut if you're a middle infielder. And if you're not a 6'9 runner or better, it's tough to do that. You know, they got to have bat speed, real bat speed, so that you can get 92 to 94 when you're sitting on it and not have to cheat and then susceptible to a lot of off-speed stuff. And then, you know, as a pitcher, can they command a secondary pitch? Is the velocity give them enough margin for error? Can you project velocity based on their frame, what they look like, their arm speed?
Are you looking at mom and dad sometimes?
100%, yeah. You know, what a mom and dad look like? What's that body going to be from 17 or 18 to 21? All that stuff you factor in. Not much different than what scouts do, only they're putting real money into it and we're putting scholarships into it. Then the bigger part, all that stuff's really easy to see when you go watch a game. You can put it on your stopwatch or your radar gun, and you can see a bat speed. It's the stuff you can't see, like competitive makeup.
You're peeking in the dugout every once in a while, right?
Yeah,
to see
all
how
the
they,
time.
What
and,
they did.
And,
yeah.
And this is no knock on travel ball. I think there's a place for travel ball. But when I'm recruiting a guy or I get a tip on a kid from his summer coach or his club coach or whatever, and he's telling me how good of a player he is, that's awesome. I can go see that. I don't need to know that. What I need to do is call his high school coach, his high school counselor, a high school teacher or two, meet his family, and find out, is this kid the right kind of kid to have success in our program with our head coach and the way he does things? And every program is a little bit different in that regard. But that's the stuff you can't see. That's the stuff you have to dig into a little bit. And I walked away from some good players just because they didn't have that makeup. Makeup is king in recruiting, I think.
Talking with Pat Ware, we got about four more minutes here, Coach. So hit upon a little bit with the 2008 team. I've heard the story where you guys got off the bus at Omaha and somebody said, I don't know if it was a player, a coach, or fan or whatever, said that's going to be the first team to go home. Did you have a story like that, or a personal story of somebody said something that kind of motivated you?
It was in the It was in media day. It was in the first press conference, and I can't remember the players that were with Bates, but Sean McDonough said it.
Ooh.
That, you know, they're going to have to book their tickets soon. It was something along those lines, right? I can't remember. That was forever ago. But and our guys heard it and just kind of went, huh, okay. But that team really, like when we won that Long Beach Regional against some really good teams, it was a little bit of a perfect storm because we had split with Long Beach in midweeks that year. We'd already played Cal, who we didn't see in the regional. And we had kind of had San Diego's number the previous two regionals. And then we get the Mattis kid who was undefeated, left-hander. It was Mattis or Romanski, I'm trying to remember. But we beat him, and then we beat Long Beach. And then when we got out of that regional, it was like we just did something really good.
Yeah.
And you go to Tempe, and they got seven big leaguers on that team. And I think they lost every ball they swung at in batting practice. It ended up on the, whatever that road is on the other side of the fence, Packard, and their fans were loud. And but it was a wind tunnel. Every ball we hit, too, got out. So all of a sudden, the pitching was equalized.
Yeah.
And I think we had the advantage at that point. And then when we got to Omaha, that group of kids, by that time, we'd been on the road for a month and a half. They were literally chiseled out of granite. They were tough. And we hammered Rice right away, and they knew we're playing with house money a little bit. And that was the kickball at recess mentality that Bates kind of described about that group, and they really did have that. They were tough. They were talented. I think we had four big leaguers on that team. I mean, it was a good group. We were preseason top 25, and then just didn't play well early in the year. But that was a special group of young men who are now all dads and professionals and working in the community or wherever they're living. Super hard thing to do. I mean, I don't know that anybody winning it, like I said, winning at any level is really hard. And people expect you to in certain programs, but it doesn't make it easier to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get done. You got to have all the stuff go right for you. You got to have good players. They got to play well. You got to get a break here and there. You got to have right matchups happen. And that we had that year for sure.
Absolutely. We only got about a minute here. Gosh darn it. And I got to hear the Aaron Judge story, how you called up Bates and said, I got a guy right in front of me, 6'7" or whatever. So walk us through that story in about 52 seconds.
Matt Curtis had done some work with some scouts and got the name, and then we saw him, and Matt met with him, and we happened to have camp that weekend, and he comes to camp, and I was the one running the camp for whatever reason that weekend, and he's just blasting balls off the scoreboard in batting practice. And I called Bates and said, Dave Winfield's here, man. You got to come see him. So Bates jumps in his car and comes down and sees him. And, you know, by the end of the camp's over, everybody's gone. And his mom, Patty, who's one of the sweetest ladies on the planet, asks me, you know, what do you think Aaron needs to do to get better? I said, well, he needs to say yes to the scholarship Coach Basil's about to offer him. And so he did. And just, you know, another kid where makeup is king, right? You know, super physically talented. Nobody knew at that point that he was going to be what he is now. But he is what he is now because of how he was raised, his work ethic, all the stuff he does in the community. He's a true captain of that organization. And it's really fun to watch him do what he's doing.
Absolutely. All right, 20 more seconds. I'm going over time here. When's the last time you talked to Aaron or texted him?
It's been a long time. He's tough to get to these
days. Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I know he
yeah.
came back to Fresno yeah. and everyone was around him. So.
We were, my wife and I were on an anniversary trip when they came to do the number retirement, so we weren't there for that. But it's been a while since I've talked to him.
Well, I know you're instrumental in where he's at, bringing him to Fresno, Coach Baseball as well. So thanks for coming on the show, Pat. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate being here. What you guys do with the absence of local sports coverage in our area, you and Nick and Jake and Chad when he was helping him and Mike Brink, like this is our kids need this. This is really a good thing.
Gracias. Thank you. All right. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, as always, Trenton Camp, Dan Haydash, and Patrick Ware. This has been 1430 ESPN.